You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with James Millman to look ahead to the best of Saturday's action. And what a Saturday we have in store as well. Top quality racing at Ascot and York. That's what we're going to focus on. But there's also a good card at Newmarket. We've got action at Newcastle in the afternoon. And evening racing at Lingfield and Salisbury as well. If you like your Irish action, there's Wexford as well on Saturday. So really is something for everyone. Unless you like jumps racing. But it is the flat season so after all. So plenty to look forward to. As I said, we're going to focus on Ascot and York in just a moment. And it just leaves for me to say good afternoon, James Millman.
Afternoon.
All right.
Table leader Alex Dunn, how are you?
Well, we're recording this before Friday's racing.
Well, possibly. Might not last. £7 clear.
Yeah, we'll see.
Shock of the century that will be if you can hold on.
Yeah, it's unlikely. I'm surprised as anyone is, James. So I wouldn't have thought that.
Miracles do happen, you never know.
It could happen. Certainly doing better than your good self.
We are struggling.
Languishing in the relegation places.
We are in the Newcastle zone at the moment.
How rude. Good racing, isn't it, on Saturday?
Yeah, cracking days racing. Obviously, the King George meeting at Ascot, the highlight, but closer to the road at York, we've got a lot of good racing as well. So a really, really good day to look forward to. And the weather could well play a part, especially down south.
Recording this at just after 1 o'clock on Friday, and the Ascot going has already changed from good to firm to good, with more rain expected throughout the day. You wouldn't have thought it's going to get heavy as such, but it could well be soft in that going description before long, James Woman.
Especially on the round track. On the straight track, it drains exceptionally well, and it takes a lot of rain for it to have an effect. But around the round course, obviously, where predominantly the King George will be run, about a mile, 1 furlong of it, it could be pretty soft. And Golden Horn connections are a little bit concerned about the rain. Obviously, we've not really seen him on that kind of ground, so it's hard to know for sure, but he's very, very effective on a quicker surface. Obviously, we're going to go through that race in detail, but he'll be concerned if he got beat because of the ground, because obviously he is unbeaten at the moment. He's could be a potential superstar that could reach into the non-racing public, to get to know him a little bit. But I think to do that, you need to remain unbeaten. Like Frankel, it took a long time for him to get into the non-racing conscious as such. And that was like 14 races unbeaten. So we do need Golden Horn to stay unbeaten, I think. And the rain may scupper him, but it will be interesting.
As a former jockey?
Yes.
Is it... When there is plenty of rain around, it doesn't automatically make the ground soft, does it, if you like? It can be sort of slippy, and then it can be sort of, you know, claggy, if you like, and sticky.
It all depends on when it rains and what amount of water's been put on artificially as such. Because on tracks which haven't watered, which have been anticipated that the rain is coming, you need quite a bit of rain to actually make a difference. Because obviously, generally, when they're watering, they're putting on 6 to 8 mil. So generally, those kind of tracks can then take a lot of rain, and it doesn't make that much of a difference. The problem you have is when tracks are watered and then they get a lot more rain than is expected. That then turns soft and patchy very, very quickly, whereas Ascot have known rain's coming.
Yeah.
So they've not put any water on recently. So it's not going to go super patchy soft because it's been overwatered and they've been caught out unaware by the rain. But if there's a lot of rain, there's various forecasts of what they're going to get, and I think it will just be a little bit localised as well. So they're not really too sure what's going to happen. But the round track does get very, very soft. Like I say, on a straight track, that drains out very, very quickly. And for the big 7 furlong handicap, you probably wouldn't be quite so concerned about the ground. But King George, it could well be an issue.
Yeah, fingers crossed that we don't get too many non-runners and that all the main protagonists go to post, because some of the racing tomorrow has got the look of a real classic to it. But right, we'll dive into the action then. We'll start at Ascot with the 3.15. It is the International Stakes, a handicap over 7 furlongs, 29 runners down to go to post here, James.
Extremely easy, isn't it, this race?
Yeah. I'm not even going to lead you in. Over to you.
Well, Speculative Bid is probably the one you need to start off with. I think he heads the market. He won the Victoria Cup over course and distance back on 9th of May under today's jockey, Jamie Spencer, who's got a good tune out of him. He's ridden him 5 times, 4 wins, and then a 5th in the Royal Hunt Cup. When a mile probably just stretched him a little bit. He was ridden as patiently as normal, but he didn't quite have as strong a finishing effect as normal. But he was hampered in that race and was still only beat 2¾ lengths. Suggests that a £10 higher mark for that Victoria Cup success is not beyond him. I think it's important that he's got poly track form, and he has also won on heavy ground. He won on heavy ground at Doncaster by 4 lengths. So the concern would have been, because all his form's generally been this year on poly track or very fast ground here at Ascot, if the rain came, you would be concerned. But that heavy ground success, yes, it was only a maiden, but does show he acts on that surface. So it wouldn't be the biggest concern. But the one I do really like is Bushcraft, who is very progressive for Ed Walker and owner Lawrence Bellman. He had 18 months off a track after having a serious injury at Chester, which a lot of horses never come back from, but well looked after by the Ed Walker team. He's been very patient, and he's resumed this year in really, really good form. As he won at Windsor, a couple of handicaps, only by a neck each time, beating King Lamy and Boomerang Bob, but it only meant he went up £9 for those 2 wins, and then he went to Newcastle for a more competitive event on Northumberland Plate Day, and he got the job done, beating Cedar Sun by a length and a quarter, up another £5, up in grade again, up to 7 furlongs as well. But he's the son of Bush Ranger. I think he will stay, and he's very, very progressive. He could be group class, and 10-1, I think he would probably be my selection, Bushcraft, and obviously a very, very competitive race. He's drawn next to Speculative Bid. They're 23 and 24 respectively, so you've got a couple of fancied ones drawn high, so you probably want to have another one in reserve on the other side drawn low. Donisher is obviously pretty dangerous for Tom Marcand and Robert Edry. He's another one that's been very progressive this year, winning 3 of his last 4 starts at Lingfield, Goodwood and the Redcar. This is a massive step up in grade for him, though, and I just think he could be found out by this much more competitive race, because he was disappointing at Sandown when running in a more competitive race 3 starts back. So I think he could just be biting off a little bit more than he can chew. So I'm going to go for the very consistent Heaven's Guest, who always runs well in these kind of races. It was a good 3rd in the Bunbury Cup at Newmarket a couple of weeks ago under tomorrow's jockey, Jack Garrity. He is drawn in stall 2. I think it's probably better to be drawn high, but we will see what happens. I'd say I'll be sticking with Bushcraft for those that are drawn high, but those drawn low would be Heaven's Guest. Like I say, he goes well in these kind of valuable handicaps, and showed that a marker 1-3 wasn't quite beyond him when running a cracker in the Bunbury Cup a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so 2 against the field then, 1 high and 1 low. But the main one would be Bushcraft then.
Yeah, Bushcraft is the one.
Okay, we'll move on to the feature race, the King George, coming up at 3:50. 1.5 miles the trip for this one. And Golden Horn needs no introduction really, James. He's done nothing at all wrong throughout his career, but does come up against some very, very nice types here. I don't think this will be an absolute walk in the park, do you?
No, it won't be a walk in the park, because I'm of the opinion that this year's 3-year-olds are not a great crop. I don't think there's, in behind him, I'm not sure there's any world beaters. The fact that Jack Hobbs was able to destroy the Irish Derby field did suggest it wasn't great form. And Storm the Stars was a little bit disappointing in France the other day, although he's had a very, very busy season, so that was questionable. But like I say, I think it's not the strongest, but he's by far superior of his generation, and coming against the older horses in the Eclipse, I thought he showed tremendous battling qualities when the Great Gatsby loomed up sides a couple of furlongs out, and he had to be pushed right out because it did look a little bit worrying at one stage. But it really confirmed to me that a mile and a half is actually his trip. Obviously, with all those stamina doubts, the owners didn't initially enter him in the Derby because they felt 10 furlongs was going to be as far as he would want, but he really still on strongly up the hill. So I do think that a mile and a half could well be his trip. Interesting opposition. Obviously, the rain's a big concern for Connections, but interesting enough, he did make a winning debut on Good to Soft at Nottingham, so it does show that he can handle it. And it was good form because Storm the Stars was actually 2nd in that maiden on his debut, and Storm the Stars was an evens favourite who had experience. So that was still a good effort, and they were 7 lengths clear of the 3rd. So he's had 1 run on an easy surface and 1 win. So we can't say that he's not going to handle it, but obviously this exceptional form has come on a quick surface. Second favourite is another Gosden runner, Eagle Top, and him and Postpone got into a little bit of barge, imagine they well documented. Frankie Dettori and Adam Kirby had a bit of a fallout. Unfortunately, Adam has lost the ride and postponed. Andrew Eretzini, who got on well with him last year, is back on board. I thought Adam did a cracking interview on At The Races yesterday where he was very reserved in what he said, but basically the owner requested a change. He's retained by Sheikh Omed Al Maktoum, and obviously Andrea was last year's retained jockey before taking the Qatar Bloodstock job. Qatar Bloodstock haven't got a runner in this race, so Andrea's free. I can perhaps see why, but I don't think it's really going to make much difference. Andrea and Adam are both very good jockeys, and Adam's just been slightly unlucky with how the races have been run. Obviously, he's ridden them three times this year. A couple of times he's made the running, and he didn't do so at Ascot, probably down to orders. Him and Eagle Top did get in a barging match and let Snow Sky have a very easy time up front. Cracking rider by Pat Smullen, and he stole it, basically, 5 weeks ago at the Royal meeting. I think out of those three, I think Postpone's at a really big price at 16-1 to come out on top of the three of them, but perhaps they're not going to be quite good enough to beat Golden Horn. But prices, I think 16-1's a cracking price for Postponed, but the problem is he probably won't want the rain to come. His best form has been on good to firm ground. He's never actually run on anything worse than good ground, so that would be a question mark for him. If we have a downpour, Clever Cookie has got to come into it each way. You wouldn't say that a horse that was a hurdler and like I say, he did get beat on his hurdle debut at Newcastle when he was only rated 115 when he went to his first handicap. And like I say, he went through the ranks on the flat, winning debut at Doncaster, and he's really improved ever since then. And slightly disappointing runs on probably too quick a ground at York in last summer, and perhaps he just wasn't quite right. But this year he's come back in really, really good form. And he showed that he handles good ground when he beat Nabatan over a mile six at York. Down to a mile and a half, he is going to need soft ground, because otherwise he's probably going to get a little bit outpaced against these very, very classy horses. I remember we ran Sergeant Cecil, or my dad ran Sergeant Cecil in the King George a few years ago, and while he had a really, really good turn of foot against two-milers, against the very best mile and a half horses, they just travel that much quicker, and he was just always just struggling to keep up a little bit. So, like I say, it'll be interesting, but if there is soft ground, I do think he could be the ones who go very, very close. But obviously, 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, we don't know what the ground's going to be. So I do think Golden Horn will be our winner. 4-6 is a very, very short price. So I wouldn't be backing him at that price. I would probably go in Postponed at 6-1 each way. If the ground gets very, very soft, Clever Cookie each way.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 2.55 from York. It is the York Stakes, a Group 2 contest over the extended mile and 2 furlong trip. 8 runners down to go to post. These races at York are often a little bit tricky to call, James. Some horses just, for some reason or other, don't give their running. And this doesn't look any easier. Where should we start here?
Well, we've got the favourite Custom Cut, who's at least a course winner, like you say, about that point. Some horses just don't actually transfer their form to York. He's won over a mile one here at York. Obviously, he's stepping up to a mile and a quarter and a half. It's an extra half a furlong. It's quite an easy track to get the trip, though. Obviously, Master Carpenter won the John Smiths there a couple of weeks ago, and he is probably best at a mile, so he managed to stretch out the trip. So I wouldn't be too concerned about Custom Cuts stepping up in trip. He's come back in just as good a form this year, winning at Sandown, which is obviously a very, very stiff mile, beaten Here Comes When. Not disgracing the lock-ins. Yes, he only finished ninth, but that was a really, really strong run all this year. We had 16 runners. Master Carpenter was back in 14th, Topmosh Tonto 13th, Captain Cat 12th. They're actually quite decent horses. Cougar Mountain was only 11th. So that was a really, really decent effort in Group 1 company. Probably not quite up to that level, but back down to Group 3. He ran a cracker under his penalty to finish second to A-Rod at Epsom. And back in Group 2 company, I think he's got an excellent chance. He deserves to be 9-4 favourite. I think he will be our likely winner. His main danger with a French runner, Prince Gibraltar, who was third to the Great Gatsby in the French Derby as a three-year-old. A little bit disappointing on his return when only sixth behind Sirius d'Anglais. A long shot, but a much better effort at Chantilly last time out, when second in a Group 2, and he could be pretty dangerous under his French jockey. But I do think Custom Cut will be our most likely winner. Topmosh Tonto, if rain came, he could be dangerous.
Okay, the final race we're going to look at is the 3:30. It is the dash over six furlongs, 20 runners down to go to post, and This one is possibly the hardest race that we've asked you to preview, James. Many of these arrive in decent nick. Many of them have got course form. Anything could win this, couldn't
it? Yeah, this is a pin job, to be honest. I'm going to give you a couple. Will Be Me is the one I'd like to see win. Small trainer, Neville Bycroft. Hasn't got many horses of his calibre, but Will Be Me has been really progressive and has run very well in defeat in the two York handicaps and the Beverly conditions race, when second to Piper's Note last time out. A really good third behind Montreal Joe in a similar contest. Comes good at this time of year, and Will Be Me will be the selection in a very, very tricky race. Tanzeer was very lightly raced, and he had two starts last year, winning the second of those at Yarmouth, beating Peace Seeker, and he ran well when fourth to Bushcraft on his return at Newcastle. Obviously, Bushcraft runs an even more competitive race up at Ascot, but Tanzeer was lightly raced, unexposed. He's drawn 4, Will Be Me drawn 15, so I'm probably going to adopt the same approach as what I did in the international. I'll have Tanzeer as the low numbers and Will Be Me as the high numbers.
Okay, fair enough. Great stuff, James. Some fantastic races to look forward to on Saturday. Enjoy it all, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.